Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome everybody, boys and girls, men and women, dudes and dudesette. This is, with all dude respect, radio show. I'm the co-host here on the West Coast, Jim Ellis. On the East Coast, we have Mr. Rick Wright. How you doing there, Mr. Wright?
Hello, hello. I'm doing well. Thank you for asking, Jimmy.
Cool. So let's see, we had a big event go on the day after Mr. Trump took office. I mean, it's kind of ironic. The timing was unbelievable. It was the next day after Trump took office, after the inauguration, which we actually presented live on the last show. It was took place on a Friday, the inauguration, and we were presenting it live radio. So then we had a show. So then they had a march. And that's what we've dedicated this show to. Not that we're experts, but we are experts at being dudes, so that's important. And so anything else to report before we dive into that that topic? Anything going on?
Are we really expert dudes?
That's true. You know what? You caught me there. I don't know. I mean, do you actually have
a certificate? What is the definition? Yeah, like what makes you listen? Biologically, we're both dudes, right? Unless you've been hiding something, you haven't told me anything.
No, not on that front. Let's see. Well, I know I wasn't a dude for a long time. I was like, growing up, I was overly serious. I would talk to, like during recess, I wouldn't play games. I would actually talk philosophy with the teacher's aides and like talk about life and the meaning. That was me as a kid, you know, and I wasn't really, I mean, yeah, I played sports and I had a best friend and we played football, but I didn't really embrace my dudeship until after I did the Sterling Weekend, worked with the men, got on a men's team, and I thought, man, I can just be me, right? I didn't have to like be something else, and I don't know, it's kind of a relief. What about you? When did you realize you were a dude?
Well, I just want to comment on that. I think it's funny, but I think it's actually pretty cool. Like you wanted to, like you were talking about philosophy because you're like a pretty deep, you know, you're a pretty deep dude as far as I know, you know? And, yes. So thank you for sharing that. Oh, by the way, before I skip over, you shared like a picture of you and a bunch of kids, I guess like the neighborhood kids when you were young. Which one were you? Don't tell me you were that knucklehead with the vest on.
Vest? Oh, my God. Let's see. Now
someone had a
page.
Vest on. I'm like, that's got to be Jim.
Wait, that's it. You know what's funny? The vest, that's a girl. A girl, that's a girl. That's
oh,
Carrie.
Boy. sorry, Carrie.
When I looked at this picture just now, I realized, wow, we were kind of outnumbered. You know, the dudes to the females, there's a lot of girls there. Which is just, maybe just that picture. But that's Cambay Lane in Huntington Beach, where I grew up. Oh, it says October 70th. Cool. Those were the days, remember when you take a picture, and then when you got it developed, like at Photo Mart or whatever it's called, they put the date on the and the year on the picture. It's October 1970. Do you want me to tell you which one I am?
Yes,
or do you
please.
Want to guess? Okay. You thought it was a buck-toothed girl.
The picture is very small. Don't take it personally. Agreement number two.
And it's very old. I'm the dapper one in the dead center, light blue shirt, in the very middle, standing. I'm the only dude standing.
By the way, for our listeners at home, that is Jim Ellis on Facebook. On his page, you can see this picture that he's talking about right now.
Right. Anyway, I must have been 63, that was 9, that was 7, 6? Yeah, I was almost turning 7 there.
Yeah.
But so that's me as a young one. And so as far as you as a dude, when did you realize you were a dude?
It's a great question. Probably fifth grade. Fifth grade, I moved from Jersey City to down the Jersey Shore to Middletown. And that's when I got into organized sports. I never picked up a ball, swung a bat, anything like that. And the first thing I got involved with was Little League. And I got a good sense of being a dude then. Like it was,
yeah.
Although I was like sort of doing it, I guess my parents wanted to keep me active, even though back then like it was just one day a week and I wasn't really active. And that's when I started like getting really chubby as a kid. I was the prototypical chubby catcher.
Really?
And,
I just don't picture
yeah.
that. That's weird.
Was
Is that
stocky,
why you became like
you know?
Mr. Workout? Is that why you became like Mr. Workout guy?
No. The reason I became Mr. Workout guy is so I can maintain a level of physical fitness. But it wasn't for that. After I went through puberty, I didn't really change any eating habits. I went through puberty. I just sprung up and I got leaner. And then, you know, I've been heavy in my life. Like it was always a battle going up and down. But for the most part, I've always been active, moving around, working out. And it just took a long time to figure out what the fuck was going on. But but it was funny because I was the prototypical, you know, chubby catcher, and it was just, you know, every time, you know, like in between innings, there I am snacking away. But if you had like a camera phone back then, it'd be like there'd probably be millions of pictures of me like eating a candy bar in between, you know, innings, just sitting there.
Between innings? Oh my god! At least it wasn't like during
yeah.
the game, you know, like during pitch between pitches, you know, like they would buy it.
Oh, that would have been great. Just pull some out of my back pocket, chew on it through the mask. I was pretty good, though. I was a good catcher.
I realize in our conversation right now, the whole point of the whole with all dude respect and the whole idea of being a dude, to me, it represents the idea that, you know what, we're all, like, at the core, united in some way in that we all have a voice. We all can have an opinion. It doesn't mean it's right. It doesn't mean it's wrong. Now, experts, like if we were like two, with all experts, you know, respect, you know, if we pretended like we're experts, then it'd be like, oh my gosh, you know, there's this pressure and we have to like have all these details and all these notes. But it is okay just to be in America, just to be in the world where you just have your perception and your discernment and your gut and you can just comment. Like, to me, I realize that's what it's about. Like, we're just dudes. It's okay. Other people can have their opinions. We're going to talk about it from a dude's perspective, at least a couple of them anyway.
Yep.
So
cool.
The pressure's
excellent.
Off.
Just took the pressure off. Yeah, so let's get into
so
this
now.
Thing, man. Like, so the woman's march. What you
yeah.
had some numbers you were telling me earlier. You want to write
yeah.
out? Want to send out some numbers, what the stats were?
Okay, so what I read was that, and saw, you know, on the news, obviously, it was the 2017 Women's March. It's a worldwide protest. It was on January 21st, like we said, and it's in support of women's rights and other causes, including immigration reform, health care, protection of the natural environment, LGBTQ rights, a lot of other things. And there's a half a million people, women and men, marched in Washington. This is like rough estimates. And then about 4.8 million worldwide. So it happened in all these different countries and as well.
Nice.
And, yeah, so that's the basics, or the base of what happened. And,
yeah, the numbers right out of the gate are pretty impressive, you know.
Oh, yeah. I think Trump was a little disturbed maybe because, you know, he always wants to be the biggest and the best, you know, and maybe the numbers are smaller than his inauguration. And like, as if that matters. I mean, people were saying, dude, you're the president. Cool it. Like, don't care about those numbers. Just do your job, man. But, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
well, that's, we have an egotistical workaholic president. That's what we have. Right. I'll take it right now. You know, I'm serious. Like the guy, you know, the first week he's been working 18-hour days, and he continues to say, you know, it's for the people. Now, you know, not everybody's agreeing with it. I don't want to get into a political discussion about Trump, but that's what he is, right? Getting back to the march, Yeah, you know, I believe that it was a women's rights march, but, you know, in Washington, it was definitely seen like it had a anti-Trump spin on it, which, you know, when I first I saw on Facebook that morning, a couple of women that I'm friends with, they're like, I'm going to the march. I was going to say, great, and, you know, keep it positive, women's rights, thumbs up, blah, blah, blah. As the day progressed, it sort of got into, yeah, this is what it is. It's, you know, women just, you know, really being upset and really, you know, don't legislate my vagina. And, you know, there was a lot of, you know, we're, you know, equal this and equal. And it was great. And again, I want to just put my stance out there. I'm pro women. And I think that it was great that they did that. I don't know if they could have made it something different that would have been more productive for them. It's sort of tough when you're a first world woman screaming about different rights and stuff when you have all these, you know, you live in the greatest country in the world. So it's, yeah. You know, it's just really, you know, and there's not a lot of, you know, there's no, right now there's, you know, there's, I don't know what's in the law books or anything. Again, not an expert. You know, but I don't believe, you know, people should be told what to do with their body. If you're a man or a woman, you know, you and I had a discussion during the week about, you know, where does certain things, where's the line? You know, it, like you said, and I believe it too, you know, if a woman's crowning and she's in the hospital, you know, does she at that point get to choose that she doesn't want to have a baby? You know, it's like, you know, I'm not sure what that line is. And again, I think it would be great to put a panel of women together to sort of figure that out and not, they were correct on one thing, you know, you don't put a panel of, you know, old middle-aged men making rules on their body. You know, it just seemed like very angry and it just what's going on in this, you know, what I'm just getting off of that and then Facebook, it just seemed like there's a lot of people that are just very, very, there's a lot of hate and a lot of anger. And, you know, that only attracts what you put out, what I put out, I'll speak personally, I attract. You know, so I do my best just to stay in that space. And I don't think that it was 100% that way, especially with some of the stars that stood up and said some dumb things. And but that's my read on it. Where are you at?
Which stars did you see speak up and what did you hear?
Madonna, you know, Madonna was, you know, she was, you know, with her comments and also, you know, the one thing she said, which is ridiculous, is, you know, I've had thoughts of blowing up the White House. And then she followed it up with something. So that quote's taken out of context. But at the end of the, you know, at the end of the day, you can't say shit like that. I don't care who's sitting in there, a Democrat, a Libertarian, a Republican. That's the office of the president. You know, I didn't vote for Obama. And honestly, I didn't spread any hate or any kind of shit when things were going down over the last couple years. Right? I didn't say I told you so. I didn't say, you know, hey, you know. There was, you know, where's the change? And, you know, look at the state of where we're at now. I didn't. I just respect, you know, I respected the office and I knew, you know, that I'll do, you know, in time we're going to do something again. And even if Hillary got in, it was going to be, you know, I would probably just go back to, you know, not saying anything and just living my life.
Yeah. Well, I definitely heard the Madonna. Well, they definitely, I heard the Madonna quote, and I'm glad that you said there was something said after that, because of course the media is going to go, whoo, that's hot. Yeah, she might say a whole bunch of great stuff, but she says something about blowing up the White House. Oh, there's a sound bite. We'll throw that all around the planet. But it's true. Like, I don't think we can say that. I don't think on this show we could say that, or like in public, like especially in the PC world. I mean, that just is not something that would fly. But and it does definitely bring polarization. I mean, that's pretty hateful if you're blowing stuff up. And what's interesting is you just put a comment like that next to some of the other chants that were going on. Love, not hate, makes America great. Love, not hate, makes America great. And these women were, I mean, I'm not, you know, I just follow my gut. I'm trying to read their context or subtext for you theater fans. I'm trying to read, like, what is their energy behind what they're saying? It's pretty hateful, and they're saying love, not hate. So the other thing I do is also compare it to something like the March on Washington with Martin Luther King. He took a stand for unity, and, oh, my gosh, that speech will be remembered forever. I don't think anyone of any speech based on like anger and attack is going to be something that's held up for centuries, you know, as something that's great. You know what I'm saying?
Well, let me ask you this, right? Say, you know, rewind to the day before the inauguration, and all of a sudden the next day, the march comes up, right? And women who had a voice, you know, Madonna, Ashley Judd, you know, the organizer, there was a woman there, I don't know her name, she was a Muslim woman. If they just got up there and instead of saying, like, all the stuff that was negative, to just rally and cause an emotional reaction, what could have been if they went up there and just really did, like, what MLK did? You know, like, what if they just said it? Like, you know, again, don't sugarcoat the facts. You know, these are the facts,
right.
You know, but we want this,
right.
and let's do this, and let's – together we can create this. I didn't hear any of that, you know. And, again, you know, who knows? There might have been great sound bites of that, but, of course, the mainstream media won't let us hear that.
Right.
But what would have happened after that? You know, what would that have caused if they were just to stand for unity and just – you know, we'll never know because it didn't happen,
yeah,
but it's just like moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, they
just
say
great.
Equality. I mean, the word equality is there, but I don't know, for some reason I'm not getting it. It feels like a pull. How could you be equal and then polarizing against, like, my brain shuts down on that. I was like, okay, we want to be equal. Is that kind of like unity? And at the same time, why are you fighting? You can't fight something and then be equal energetically or at some level. So I don't know. It goes
back to the whole conversation of just, like, you know, like liberals and conservatives. There's a divide there. It's like, if you can't, you know, if you want, like you said, if you want all people to be equal, the word is acceptance. You have to accept everything. Like you even said too, like in the beginning, the march was also about the LGBTQ community, right?
Yeah.
God bless them. Anybody who wants to do anything with another consenting adult, by all means, have at it, right? I don't really care. The thing is, though, you know, it's just acceptance. It's like, you know, the people on the extreme right really need to accept that those are people that are making a choice and that's what they want. But also the people on the left need to make sure that they accept that this may go against some other person's principle on the right. There is this lack of acceptance in the middle that just doesn't go back and forth. Now, I don't consider, you know, look, I'm looking at myself. If I really went through a checklist, I'm probably more liberal than I am conservative. And what's absent out of all that is accepting, right? If the march, you know, I don't know if that would be the word acceptance, because I'm not sure if people would be able to get their head around it, but like unity, or like, you know, just love. And again, even that love is such a big word because of what goes on in this world. There's got to be something cool that could be put out there that would unify and also have people just accept each other, you know?
Right. I guess there's dividing lines that do happen, even if you have that underlying foundation of unity and we're going to be one people or one nation. There's certain things that do, there are lines that are drawn, and it looks like there's two major areas that they talked about that I saw, anyway, on
okay.
the speeches. There was a woman, Johansson, I can't remember her
mm-hmm.
full name. But she's
Scarlett.
An actress. Scarlett, yeah. So she was talking, I like what she was saying, because she's saying, you know, I want to trust you, Trump, as a leader. Oh, whoa, so there's a willingness there.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked about Planned Parenthood as an organization, and how because you know this talk of because that's something specific, right? Planned Parenthood. Okay, there's
yep.
an organization
yep.
that they want to defund. So there's a fear that birth control, women's care, reproductive services, basic health care, sex education, and then the magic word, abortions. Duh! You know, that's when people get. Wait a minute. That's when the dividing line starts happening. I think everyone wants, you know, women to be taken care of, have their own care. And I, as a man, I wouldn't
mm-hmm.
know say anything. I wouldn't want to get into that arena at all because I have no clue. But I would want them to have that. I think when the abortion word comes up, that's when you have the belief systems play in, and now you have people putting their belief systems on others. And where do you draw the line there? That's where it gets so tricky. Did you see what?
Well, if you think about it, there's a couple of, and I don't know if we're ever going to agree on this as a whole. We're never going to agree on this. Well, I can't say that. I think it'd be very difficult to get an agreement on abortion, on God and Christianity, Jewish religion, whatever it is. It's like religion, like some, you know, atheists, they hear the word God, they're freaking out. And then also like guns, you know, and climate. So those four things I think are the biggest things people are just really divided on. It seems like people have one side or the other side, you know?
Yeah.
What's stopping us from talking, Jimmy? What's stopping us from having a conversation? Not us, not me and you. But like, what's stopping a committee being put together, like a coalition or something, like not politician dudniks, like just like some average folks from, you know, 1,000 people from each, I don't know, do it by state, population, whatever it is, and like just getting them all together in a room. You know, like how we do, you know, we do exercises with the organization. You know, something like that. Because when you get face to face with someone, you can have a conversation. It's not just screaming or yelling or throwing a poster in someone's face. Things happen. You know, that's good thing that I really, you know, one good thing that I like about our president is he's having conversations. He's not. It's not like he's shooting messages through the press. Apparently he spoke to the president of Mexico today for an hour, you know, the woman. Yeah. And he said it was a great conversation. He goes, you'll hear it from the man yourself. And then he also said that, you know, then he's sitting there with the prime minister. I don't know if she's the prime minister. She's the woman from Britain. She's right there. I saw a little bit of the press conference, you know, so it's like, it's not like, again, these conversations. You know, just, you know, like I know I've had a list on a man like I barely even knew. And what's great is I'll go up to him in the circle. We'll have a big circle, regional meeting, divisional meeting. I'll go up to him like, you know what, man, I got a list on you. I don't know what it is. I just don't like you. And I'd be like, well, this is who I am. He goes like, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm married. I got this, you know, and I'd be like, I'm like, you know what? At the end of it, I'd be like, I get you. I understand. I get what, you know, and hug it out. And that's it. Done.
Yeah. Well, you came at it with a willingness. Well, you also had a higher purpose to connect with someone. You had something that was bigger than your individual differences. You had a higher thing, you know, higher place of connection with another person. Like that was your goal. Like your goal wasn't, man, I want to make you wrong and show the world how stupid you are. Your goal was, I imagine, I heard it in your voice, was to get beyond the differences and have a connection with a man in your circle. And how can you lose? I mean, who's going to, unless somebody really doesn't want to participate, that's not really a debatable thing. Like, you know, I want to really be connected with you. No, you don't. I mean, no one's going to say that. There's no debate on that one. But, you know, you got somebody like Michael Moore, that, you know, the documentary guy. He's up there. He's ripping. Here's what he said. He goes, there's a headline here in this newspaper. It says Trump takes power. He goes, I don't think so. And then he rips up the newspaper. What is that going to do? You're trying to incite, you know, half a million, I don't know, 250,000 people, however many he was talking to. To what? To hate one man, you know, even if he is the president? Not inspiring to me. And he was someone who did points. Go ahead.
Well, they all think that he's a bona fide psychopath. You know, I when I talked a little bit, they're like, you know, he's not right. He's mentally ill. I'm like, no, I don't know that because I've never seen his psychological report. Well, what about is that? I'm like, I don't really, you know, I've known the guy and known of the guy probably most of my adult life. And yeah, has he been stellar human being? Absolutely not. But as a real estate investor, I look up to the man. You know, he started, you know, his father had a business. He gave him the business, but he took, you know, a decent business and created an empire. So, you know, but that's the thing. It's like, if Michael Moore, this is the deal. If Michael Moore sat down with Trump, I bet you Michael Moore would walk away with a different understanding of him. And also Trump of Michael Moore. If they were able to have an open and honest conversation.
Right.
Not some kind of bullshit,
right.
You know, not some kind of bullshit talking points or debate. More of, hey, man, let's, you know, I don't drink, you know, you come on in, you know, come to the Oval Office, we'll sit down, you want some lunch, just sit there. I bet you if they don't say two words to each other for the first 5 minutes, they're eating, and then finally someone will break into conversation and they'll understand each other better when that meeting's over. I believe he did that with the woman from Britain. I believe he had that conversation with the president of Mexico, and I believe he's going to have those conversations. And I think that his plan is what it is. He just wants to support America and the American people right now.
Right. Well,
and
the word conversation has the idea of listening in it. Like, you can't have a conversation without some form of, you know, back and forth, listening and speaking. So. That's key. And Trump, he has not given that impression to Mexico. Like, you will be doing this. Oh, man, that's not a conversation. That's like a demand. Yeah. You will be paying for the wall. Yeah, that's not the best way to start a conversation.
I agree.
You know what I mean? So,
that was his ploy and blah, 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 you know.
Yeah, so things to learn about. I wanted to say this, too, about the march.
Yeah, getting back to the march.
I love the march. I love that. Two things about the march. Number one, that it could even happen. You know, there's countries where you can't even, you know, have any dissension or opposition. I mean, the whole idea of the United States of America is that you can have that. So, my gosh, half a million, you know, people, whatever it is. I mean, they're having their say. I love that. That is so awesome. And the other thing was, it was pretty peaceful, right? I mean, that's a lot of people and not very many porta potties, and it seemed like it was pretty peaceful. did you get that?
I wasn't going to bring up. Well, I think probably they were, because there was more women online for the porta johns than there was on the march half the time. Now I'm just breaking the balls. There wasn't a lot of violence, so there wasn't, like, you know, you saw, like, you know, like armed police and, you know, riot police or anything like that, which was great. And I agree with you. It's, you know, this country is an amazing country, especially with our First Amendment right to be able to say anything that we want, you know, when we want to. It's, you know,
right.
Again, you can't say certain things. You can't say shit about the president because you're going to visit from the Secret Service. But again, to exercise our right to have a voice. Amazing. So, yeah, I agree, man. It's awesome. And like I said, it was a world march, which is amazing. Like, I don't think I've ever heard of a world march before. And apparently there was a lot of countries that participated.
Yeah, and I got to admit that if somebody was going to make some law, like a bunch of women get together and they're going to make a law to, like, snip the balls off men or something, I'd be like, I wouldn't be like, oh, peace and love and unity. I'd be like, wait a fucking minute. So,
yes.
I understand that there can be anger. I'm just wanting to know what is the best result that they can get that can keep human rights, which I totally believe in. What's the best context? What's the best approach? You know, that's what I want to support.
So. Yes.
Well, there you go. Another
30
minutes of our life.
Get out of here, really.
I've been gone. Yeah. So.
Son of a bitch. Look at that.
Yeah. So. Couple of dudes talking about life. We, you know, we're open to suggestions, comments. Please see us on Facebook. That's where you can find us. Facebook. If you've never heard of it, it's facebook.com. You go to With All Dude Respect. Just type that in the search, With All Dude Respect, and you can find Rick and Jim. So thank you, Ricky. That was another fun show.
Thank you, Jimmy. Yep, absolutely. Great show. Thank you.
And have a great weekend. We'll be seeing you next time, and catch us all again Friday, 1 p.m. West Pacific time, 4 p.m. Eastern. Ciao.
All right. Take care, Jimmy. Bye-bye.